Now we are given certain positive qualifications and then negative qualifications. And here we are given in verse 2 the positive qualifications. A bishop then must be blameless. Now, that word blameless here can, I think, be misunderstood. You're going to be blamed if you take any office in a church. You're going to find out that you're going to be blamed. I was a pastor too long not to know that. But the important thing is the word has in it the idea that when the accusation is made, that it'll not be true. That is the thing that is important, that you'll be blameless in the sense that what you're accused of, that you're not guilty. And probably the best word would be not guilty. A man that's not guilty, and that is living a life of the things he'll be accused of. And that reminds me of my experience when I first went to downtown Los Angeles as a pastor, and I met Dr. James McGinley in Chicago, I guess the first few months after I'd been called there and was pastor. He said to me, "How do you like being pastor of that great church?" Well, I said, "It's a marvelous opportunity, but I find myself in a very unique place. I'm accused of many things, and I can't defend myself. You can't spend all your time answering everybody, so I've determined that the thing I do is just preach the Word of God and not try to answer them because I can't answer them." And he said, "Isn't it nice that you're accused of something and you're not guilty? It's nice to be in that position." And that's what a bishop should be. He's blameless. He'll be accused of something, but he won't be guilty. Now it says he should be the husband of one wife. Now that can be taken in two different ways. The husband of one wife could mean that he ought to be married. And I'm of the opinion that that is probably the thought that's in the mind of Paul. But somebody's going to say he was not married. Well, those of you who've been with us through 1 Corinthians know that I take the position Paul had been married. I think Paul had had a wonderful wife, and she'd probably died, and he never married again because he's out as an apostle now. But I believe that he was married. He couldn't have been a Pharisee and not been married. And I think that that is true there. I remember when I first became a pastor, ordained, a friend of mine, he belonged to another church, and he was constantly, and he was doing more than kidding me. He thought I was entirely wrong. He says, "You have no right to be a pastor if you're not married." And he gave me this verse, that you should be the husband of one wife. But I think primarily the meaning is he shouldn't have two wives, the husband of one wife, because in that day, polygamy was a common thing. Bigamy was certainly prevalent. But a Christian should be the husband of one wife. And then the next word, he should be temperate. The word in our translation is vigilant. I like a better word than that. I like the idea of he should be cool and calm and not credulous. In other words, he should be a man who knows how to keep his cool. And then the next word here is he should be sober, and probably sober-minded is a better word, and even still a better word is he's serious. He means business. That doesn't mean he shouldn't have a sense of humor, but he's serious about the office that he holds. And of good behavior. Now, I think the better word there is orderly. He's orderly in his conduct. He doesn't do questionable things. I know a minister that got himself in a great deal of difficulty here in Southern California. He came and talked with me. And I'm confident the man was not guilty of what he was charged of. They said that he had an affair with a certain woman in the congregation. I'm confident from the information that came to me from several sources, he was not guilty, but he was certainly careless in his conduct. They'd be out in a social group. He was a young minister, and he was here when I first came to California, and I was a young minister then, and I've been out with him, and I know that he does many careless things. And in his own church, they would be having a social gathering, and he would kid, and he would say to another man's wife, "Well, I'm going to take her home tonight." And he would take her home, and that fellow would take his wife, and then he'd leave her at the door, and then he'd go to his own home. And they did that with a great deal of kidding. May I say to you, that can arch eyebrows, and that can cause a great many people, especially gossips, to start talking. My feeling is that an officer and a minister, his conduct should be above reproach. Oh, kidding is fine, but don't let it lead to questionable things. And that is the thought that I'm sure that Paul had here. And he should be, now he says here, of good behavior, and that is the word that we're after, orderly, and he's given to hospitality, and that means that he's a hospitable individual. That means that he's the type of fellow that invites his preacher to lunch, you know, that type of a fellow, hospitable. I like fellows like that, always have. I'm kidding now. And there are a lot of wonderful men of God like that around that really are hospitable. And I have the privilege now of doing something I never was able to do before, travel all over the country, and I meet so many wonderful laymen today. And many of these laymen, they just come and put their arm around me and say, "Now, can I help you some ways? Anything I can do for you?" I go to certain places, and I go to the room, and there's a bowl of fruit there, and there's a bouquet of flowers there, and I find out some very fine elder and his wife put that there. And then I go down here to San Diego, and a tooth of mine that was kept broke off, and I needed a dentist, and a doctor friend of mine, they introduced me to a dentist, and you know, I go all the way to San Diego now, because he's such a wonderful fella, just one of these hospitable man. He's a deacon in the church down there. May I say, all across the land today, these wonderful people like this. Now let me read on. Apt to teach. And I'd emphasize that I do not think any man ought to be an elder in a church or a bishop in a church unless he can teach the Word of God. Now I used to say to my officers, and some of them didn't appreciate it, and the reason they didn't appreciate it, because they couldn't qualify. I used to say that I wish that it were possible for me to give a theological test to every officer. And if he didn't pass it, he wouldn't be an officer. And I still say that would be a mighty good idea. I never put it in, but you know, we retired preachers, we've got all the answers today. We try to tell everybody else how to do it. We didn't do it, but we're telling everybody else how to do it. But I do think that would be a good thing.